Welcome to Real Flix Reviews. We're like a book club. People hate reading. This week is special. We did the movie Guardians of the Galaxy, and we bring you Season 1, Episode 1 of...
American Gods.
And this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Hello. And Ryan Preston. The normal scheduled rotation will be starting again next week, so it'll be Ryan's pick. James's pick.
Oh, cool.
You're pointing at me, dude.
And so here's a description of the Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Set in the backdrop of an awesome mixtape number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 continues the team's adventures as they unravel the mystery of Peter Quill's true parentage.
You know, I do got to say, though, I really enjoy the mixtapes in these films.
Oh, like, yeah,
that's a hidden gem.
That's the through line that I think, you know, holds it all together.
Yeah.
I love these types of movies when it's like after the getting to know each other sort of part of the first one, we kind of jump into the business as usual side.
Yeah.
Of what they've been doing the last, you know, whatever months or years, you know.
I was really reticent about this because usual, you know, these movies suffer from sequel syndrome. If you take a look at any of the Marvel movies, they do. Or they get so bogged down in little minutiae that doesn't really matter, but Marvel wants you to really care about it.
Can we just forget about all the Logan series and move on from that? Let's just forget.
This one has such a unique heart, though, that it transcends the sort of usual tropes that you would find in a sequelitis kind of movie.
No, yeah, that's for me, this is a strong 4 to 5. It's not quite a 5, but I loved the movie. There really wasn't anything that I hated about it. I just can't give it a 5. So it's a 4.5 for me.
All right. James? You know, I'm going to join with you on that one. The one character that really is getting on my nerves a little bit is Gamora. I mean, I'm not sure if it's the actress or just the role. I'm not a fan of her character.
It's got to be the character.
Everyone else I really love. I love Chris Pratt. I love Batista. Like, I mean, Batista's a hidden gem in these films.
Dude, Batista is the diamond in the WWE rough, man.
Oh, now, yeah, who would have thought a guy whose career was taking chair shots is this actual funny?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you see guys like The Rock and you figure that's like a 1 in a billion kind of a guy, you know, just the most charismatic dude you've ever seen. But then Batista just kind of comes out of nowhere and has this like immediate lovable ability.
I mean, you're beautiful.
You did not see that
on
coming.
The inside. You're ugly on the outside. I love that.
In all honesty, I think, well, that's, well, okay. So what do you give it, Ryan? I don't want to.
Well, I was going to say, I jump along with a 4.
4.5?
Yeah, I'm up there with a 4 and a 5 just because I feel like being different. But such a strong cast of characters that and the writing is just so pitch perfect with every character. And I think we're sort of meant to be kind of, I don't know about annoyed, but like notice the contrast of how Gamora deals with stuff.
Well, yeah, you know? And I mean, I understand that, but I really gave no shit about her sister storyline in this film.
Well,
I really did.
Okay, I'll tell you what. That was the weakest part of the first one. And here's the funny thing. As much as I love Karen Gillian, I think it was a performance thing going a little bit almost over the top in a more serious way. I don't know how to describe it. It seemed a little on the wrong side of the campy that they were going
for. It did seem to me at the time, and it definitely does more now, that they're playing catch up. Like they just kind of threw the two together, Gamora and Nebula, without really any enough backstory. So I'm kind of thinking this was them going, okay, here's the plot. This is what happened. Here's a little more information. Like when the scene when they were fighting, I thought was cool when they talked about our father ripped my brain out of my skull and threw me in this body. You know,
I
liked that part of it. But you're right, it was definitely weak. But I also thought the thing with a Rocket too was kind of.
You mean with Michael Rourker, Yondu, Rocket?
Well, I thought Rocket and Yondu were actually the best part.
I was going to say.
I meant the part that. was it Rocket stole this and he's doing this and he's doing that. It's like, I get the point, but to me it was kind of, it's a little weak. How about a little bit more besides you have a trash panda?
That was great.
Trash panda. I agree. It's worse.
I loved it. I actually liked it though, because it shows like something that you almost don't see too often, because they fail to realize, you know, when you have these characters that have been around for so long, like your Lethal Weapons, and they've supposedly known each other for years by this point, you know, that the relationship, they're still asking each other questions like, dude, you should know that kind of, and this seemed like more of like a deep seated kind of like sort of just now coming to the surface part of their relationship.
Okay.
You know, between him and Quill and the way he's acting out lately, you know, like the dynamic was good for a while, and now it's kind of gotten weird or something.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
I see that.
And Michael Rooker is still my favorite character in this. Like, I liked him in the first one,
good.
But the second one, this is when
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
By the way, there's a bunch of memes on Facebook that people have like added them in.
There's a ton of memes.
Allegedly, Disney's going to actually put a guest spot of him in Mary Poppins.
That would be awesome.
I don't know if it's going to be Yondu. It totally should be.
I got to say, with Michael Rooker, I mean, like, the first one when they brought him in this one, it kind of seemed a little bit of a cliche character for him coming off the back of what he did in The Walking Dead. This one, it, like, transcended that. I was so happy to see him go beyond that. I mean, it is kind of still a cookie cutter character. He played a racist guy on The Walking Dead. I know John hasn't watched it. Ryan knows what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't say a cliche. I think it was
for him is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Because I think it went from a character that was decently original in The Walking Dead to a character that was campy, was on the verge of being, you know, A equals B type of thing.
Yeah. But I think in this one, like, he developed a whole nother side of this character, and I think he did a fantastic job.
Because you gave him a chance.
Hell yeah, but that's actually what's kind of crazy about how good this movie was, is that every character that they went that level deeper seemed very perfect for that character. Like, everything, like I said, was just written so true to who those characters are, you know, that the arcs were all just really good.
I do have one question. What's up with DC and Marvel both having living talking planets?
I don't know.
DC has a Green Ranger.
Yeah.
What the hell is it called?
It's a
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern has a planet that's a Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Talking about Oa?
No. There's another one. I don't think Oa's Oa the living planet?
I know that's where the council is.
A planet that is a Green Lantern.
Yeah, that's actually.
Oh, that's right. The actual Green Lantern
planet.
Part of the core. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. And then you have Ego.
Yeah.
I actually I actually thought Kurt Russell's character was honestly the weakest part of this movie. He made kind of a good bad guy, but I didn't care about him. I didn't hate him. I just thought, okay, he's an egotistical planet. It's kind of, you know,
his character reminded me of Battlefield Earth with John Travolta's bad guy character.
Except there's not humans who haven't touched anything.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about, though? I mean, the way he played the character kind of reminded me of John Travolta in Battlefield Earth.
There were no Harriers in this one,
thankfully. A little bit,
but also... A little bit? Go watch Battlefield Earth again.
Do I have to?
Yeah, dude, Battlefield Earth took itself the most serious they were like, this is going to be the ultimate sci-fi.
Yeah.
I have to admit, that was the one movie that I always wanted to watch stoned, because I figured maybe if it was stoned, I would actually get it.
Well, I mean, John's favorite Smurfs on Shrooms Avatar, that was closer to what Battlefield Earth tried to be.
What do you mean favorites? I've never even seen the whole thing.
Have you taken shrooms and watched it?
But no. Okay, listen.
What? Ryan, have you?
Look, you might like it.
I'd have to think about it. But okay, listen, here's my point. When you have the plot sort of that this guy who has this, who's named Ego, has a planet named Ego and is taking over the world with his sort of physical ego. You know, when you play it that heavy-handed, I can almost forgive a little bit of the kind of goofiness or weirdness of his character.
Yeah, I mean, he did show everybody how the blob was made. I actually thought that part of it was at least decently creative. It was, it, to me, how what his whole plan was really seemed kind of, okay, what are we going to have Kurt Russell do? I know, how about this? And then they kind of formed a story around it.
Well, but, no, I think, hold on, I think that they absolutely knew that there was going to be a, because I have to assume that this is canon, that Peter Quill is a, you know, was the god part, you know, and that that was part of the storyline. So then it's just a matter of, oh, who are we going to cast for his father? I think that was more of the thinking.
Well, it's definitely,
and then it's like, dude, it'd be great if we can get Kurt Russell, you know?
It's definitely the modern canon. I don't think it's the historical canon, but comic books change so much.
Is there a fucking historical canon of Guardians? How goddamn old is that thing?
Well, so
it can't be 20 years old.
I actually watched something about this. If I actually remembered, I'd tell you the name of the YouTube show. But it talked about how it was from the 30s or 40s, and some of the people in this movie were actually the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wait, the Guardians of the Galaxy is from the 30s or 40s?
It's 40s, 50s, something like that. It's actually from
the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's, if I remember, it was like 40s or 50s. It was old enough that made me go, whoa.
Well, that's wildly trippy. I didn't, that's bizarre, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's,
think it's that old. Huh.
I mean, it just seemed like such a contemporary type of story. I don't know.
It probably is like, I'd say it's probably just like, oh, I'm forgetting that Kung Fu movie TV show, the Netflix just came out.
Iron Fist?
Yeah, it's probably like Iron Fist. It's another one of these things that really kind of lost its relevancy up until kind of the modern era.
You know, because 1969, all right. I think.
Yeah, the year that they came out with the 69.
See, I thought it was older than that
movie. I guess that's just the year that they named it.
But I think what it was is it's probably one of these comic books that in its day and a while after it had some relevancy. But, you know, like Iron Fist and the other ones, they just lost their relevancy and went away.
It definitely makes more sense that this thing would have came out of like the late 60s. I mean, into like a civil rights movement kind of an era.
You know, I got to say, though. I mean, I'm glad that they didn't try to do a movie like this, like they did of The Flash and Doctor Strange, because we actually do have the technology to actually make the comic book pages look more realistic than what they would have done with a lot of phallic symbols.
But I still really enjoyed this movie. And honestly, I like Kurt Russell. I mean, I think this is the first re-Disney movie he's done in 15 years. He's actually a golden Disney boy. His career kind of started with Disney. Matter of fact, Walt Disney's last word was actually Kurt Russell.
It was a curse. What? But
no, seriously, they said the last thing Disney ever said or wrote was Kurt Russell, and nobody to this day has any idea why.
Because he stole his soul. Yeah. Anyway, why are we all like not talking about Vin Diesel? I mean, this is probably his best role ever. I mean, I was totally blown away. I think he did a fantastic job.
But yeah, like, I think it's the most fun that I've ever had watching him on screen.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm trying to think if there's any Vin Diesel movie. Pitch Black is probably his Riddick characters, minus the last Riddick movie, because I thought it sucked.
Oh, it was terrible. Well, so was the, I mean, there was some really weird shit in the second one.
I liked the second one. It was entertaining.
I liked it too, but man, they went... They went a little Battlefield Earth on that one.
A little?
I mean, is that our new curse word?
I mean, come on. He was
when it comes to sci-fi taking it that direction with just like, oh man, you guys got the rubber suits on and everything.
Come on, he was the Furian savior, and nobody's to this date is like, what the fuck?
Teacup.
By the way, that's one of my favorite lines. Along with Death by Teacup is I'll be your Huckleberry.
I prefer Are You Gonna Bark All Day, Little Doggy, or You Gonna Bite?
Okay, that'll give you that one too. I still stick with a 4.5. This was a great movie to watch. Matter of fact, they're making fun of little things like a guy's name, Taserface.
Yeah,
that whole bit about I can't believe you wake up in the morning, you go Taserface.
Yeah, they gotta call me Taserface.
God, this
tell Taserface I said hi.
This the whole movie, and even even the continue of the bit about Rocket wanting to mess with somebody, like when Groot stole the guy's eye, he's like, no, don't leave it here.
Yeah.
I just 4.5 out of 5. It's just such a great, entertaining movie. I would say, however, this was not a kid's movie. When I saw it in theaters, there was a kid in it. I would say you'd have to be like 13 or older, and this child looked a little younger than that.
You don't have to be. Every one of us was watching rated R movies when we were like 9.
Oh, no, okay? I was much. I saw Cool World in theater. That's...
Yeah, his parents took him disturbing. To watch Howard the Duck, too.
So
both of those are just bad parenting.
No, Howard the Duck I didn't see in theater. But I would say there are parts, most of this movie I would say is child-friendly. There are a couple of scenes that I would say
child-friendly. Oh, yeah, shout out to Seth Rogen. Good cameo.
Yep. And I was surprised at how many lines Mr. Stan Lee had. That's like the most he's ever talked in any of them combined.
By the way, did you get who he was talking to?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure.
God, really?
Believe it or not, not a lot of people got who he was talking to.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ryan, did you get who he was talking to?
No. Well, apparently he wasn't paying attention.
He was talking to the Watchers.
Yeah. You didn't know?
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
So, how did you not know that?
So what do you give this? What did you give you rating?
Yeah, I'm giving it a solid 4. I think both of these deserve a solid 4. I mean, I think there's enough that, I mean, like, I would like to see them push it to where they do a 5, but I don't think it deserves a full 5. But yeah, it's a strong 4.
Ryan?
I mean, definitely 4, 4.5. I mean, providing that I gave the first one a 5, because that was such a perfect movie.
I don't remember what I gave it. I think I gave it a 5, too.
If I didn't, we can just, you know, retroactively update that. But, no, I mean, what a friggin' fun movie, man. I mean, not a wrong bone in his body, you know?
Oh, they did piss off Microsoft, though, by putting the Zune. They put the Zune in, and the Zune hasn't been around in a long time. Microsoft.
But that was great. That was such a perfect little moment, dude. Okay, hold on. First of all, two things. One, when you start a movie, the opening line is, "All right, a-holes." Yeah. I am already so much a fan, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm probably biased on that 0.5. But when the look that he gave when he said, "I'm going to make so much weird shit," and then he ends up actually making Pac-Man at the end there, fucking almost pissed myself.
Yeah,
funnest thing in the world.
And I would do the same thing as him. Like, dude, I'm going to make so much random shit and you're not even going to know.
And the look on his face was basically the thoughts that we had all had as like kids or something.
Like, we are
just like, I know that look. I recognize that look.
Yeah.
I mean, all the things I can do.
I will have to say, my soft side, one of my favorite parts was the end of it when he gave the part of the earbud to Groot. I love that.
I know, right?
I was like, oh, it's like, crap, that's my like inner soft side. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Is there a movie you'd like us to do? Or is there maybe some movie news you're interested in us talking about? The other thing is you can catch Real Flix reviews on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. So this week's TV series was
American Gods. Now, I saw just like a little preview of this like 2 weeks before it came out, and I'm like, I got to watch this. I really do. And the biggest reason was I saw Ian McShane in there, and I've got a soft spot for that guy. But I mean, like,
can't say
the
that about Ryan.
First 10 minutes of this show, how epic was that Viking scene?
Okay. Let me actually.
That was so much fun to watch.
Okay, to a certain extent, it almost rubbed me the wrong way until
with the CG blood. We know how much you love CG blood.
Well, man, dude, because it's used when it doesn't need to be. You know what I mean?
But this freaking arm with the sword that stabbed the dude in the neck.
Well, that's my point. I mean, is for one, when I start a new show, when I'm watching a movie, the first thing I'm looking for is to establish the rules of the universe that I'm in. You know,
they established the rule. There are no rules.
Now here's the thing: is I knew nothing about this show. I think I might have saw like a bus ad or something like that with just a photo of some weird guy's face, and so I didn't really know anything about it. So I'm watching it. And, but And so that thing was like, okay, what kind of show is this? Is this like a bastard executioner thing that I'm gonna fucking hate?
But no, then all like, of a sudden, it reminds me of Preacher.
And then that's what it started to remind me of, exactly. So I started to becoming really wrapped up in the narrative. Oh, and then I saw my boy Ian McShane and almost stood up and cheered. But I was by myself and I figured that'd be weird.
Oh, how awesome was he playing that character though, the old senile man?
Oh, dude. And then when he turned on it, yeah, it was just like, oh, I'm going to like this show.
I gotta say, though, that you can't really go in predicting what the fuck this thing's about.
You can't go in predicting what I'm going to pick for a TV show.
Well, because you're watching this. Okay, it's a Viking. Okay, cool. Then all of a sudden this guy is having like hallucinating. Then some old dude keeps popping up, one on the airplane, the one the dude's taking a leak, and then he knocks some dude out in a bar that has a giant alligator.
He hasn't finished this whole thing. But he has now. I knew I was going to like this show as soon as the Vikings hit the beach and got feathered with arrows. That was epic.
It was epic.
This is so random of a show. I'm going to love this.
I got to say, it finally explains that gif I've been seeing around the internet. There's like internet reaction gifs, and my girl, you know, like I gave my girlfriend this. This was her reaction. The guy gets shot with a bunch of arrows. It finally explains where the hell that came
from. And you know what? You know what my reaction was? I'm just like, well, wait a second. After the first arrow hit, you would just fall over, and then the rest of the arrows just fall into the sand. You wouldn't just keep standing there.
It reminds me of a lot of Hero, actually.
I love the fact that you try to like take it so literally. See, I don't take things like that literally. I'm like, how screwed up can we make this?
I'm 3 minutes into this show, and like I said, I'm trying to figure out what the rules are, and that's just where my brain goes, okay?
And then you see an arm flying through the battle
scene. I'm thinking we're in some sort of fantasy thing, and then cut to a fucking prison. So I'm like, oh, this thing's all over. I like it already.
By the way, I really want to find just a scene of his arm flying off and just, you know, splice in.
Oh, you probably could. I mean, you probably could do that. It's got to be something.
You know, there's been a lot of clamor around this show, though. Like, now that I've kind of started paying attention to it a little bit.
Oh, there's people that hate it. There's people that love it. There's people that are like Ryan trying to make sense out of the universe.
See, the thing I don't get is hating it, because honestly, they don't really, unlike a lot of TV shows nowadays, they don't blow their load. They don't explain shit.
No, I appreciate the fact they're not explaining anything.
And I don't like when people say with stuff like this, automatically they don't like it. You know what I mean? That's coming home, you know, with a new girlfriend and your parents are like, I don't like her. And you're like, you don't even know her.
Yeah.
I'd say generally this isn't kind of the thing I'm super into. I wouldn't say I hate it. I'd say, you know, I don't quite get it. Not my thing. But I'll watch the next episode. Generally, I'll watch the first or second, you know, couple episodes.
I'm going to jump back because I totally ripped the Librarians a new one last week. A show like that, the Librarians.
I know.
You guys don't watch it. Anyway, a show like that, like, I can tell you right off the bat whether or not I'm going to like it at all. And I can tell you right off the bat if it's worth me taking another watch of this show. This one, like we've said, it doesn't tell you anything.
It's not a Gotham.
Like, I've finished the entire episode. Ryan hasn't. John has. They don't explain anything. They give you hints, but they don't tell you what's going on. They haven't even told you what happened to the Vikings on the beach. And that was like 7 minutes of the episode. And then they took it to a whole different thing. You have no idea what's going on.
What channel is this on? I don't remember.
This is on Starz Network. Okay. Yeah. So it's nice that they're trying to compete. Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you right now that Ian McShane, over the years, I mean, that big dude
choice.
Has had.
That's a fantastic choice.
He's got such an eye, I think, for. I think he's only doing stuff like this. And the last thing we saw him in was Game of Thrones. You know,
saw him in was a TV show called David, which was an HBO kind of spinoff. It was very liberal telling of the story of David.
We did an episode of it.
We did do one episode of
it.
Oh,
that's why. Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, I've seen him do some very drastic roles, and he's handled them very well in all of them.
Yeah, but he is a brilliant actor, and I think takes roles that are just that good,
that are worth his time. Yeah.
I will say, I think one of the reasons the storytelling is better on this, because it's not from one of the Alphabet networks, where if you take a look at anything the Alphabet networks do, they do kind of what they normally do. They want people to watch it, so they blow their load at one thing, and you're like, okay, I can guess the entire freaking first season, possibly part of the second.
Biggest example is Gotham.
Yeah. I do appreciate storytelling. The fact that you still, like, I can probably tell you what it's about. I have a great idea, but it's not confirmed. I love that storytelling, that it actually makes you think a little bit, not too much, because I kind of guessed what, you know.
But a network also like Starz, you know, they're kind of playing catch up when it comes to the HBOs and the Showtimes of the world. You know, Showtime's getting killer shit like Homeland.
Yeah.
And HBO's been killing it since freaking Sopranos.
Yeah.
You know, and really Starz, I mean, that was Spartacus, which,
The first season was worth,
what else was on
maybe?
Starz?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue this conversation on Real Flix Reviews movie news, possibly. This week's pick is
We are going away.
James's pick. So, James, you're up.
I'm actually wondering. I think I had a TV show too. So I am gonna jump into a genre that we have not touched. I'm gonna do some kind of crappy '90s movies, and I'm gonna be picking House Party.
Nice.
So that's what I'm gonna go with. I actually don't have a TV show right off the top of my head. Oh, I did have one. Damn it, I don't remember what it was. One second, I'm actually gonna pull up real quick. I think I did have it.
This is fascinating. Watching.
Right. This makes or watching? Great listening.
Damn it. Why does this...
I hope this... I hope
the drive time.
I know exactly what it was. Okay, we're going to be doing something that we also haven't done on this show. We are going to be doing kind of a reality TV show. We're going to be doing The Ultimate Beastmaster, which is a Netflix original. It's put out by Sylvester Stallone. It is his competition things. We're going to be doing...
It's basically
Netflix version of Ninja Warrior.
Yes, Bing, it is. Bing. And we're going to be doing season 1 episode 7 called Beast Mode. So
now here's an interesting thing about that particular show. It was simulcast in like 9 different countries in 9 different languages or something. And there's actually a Netflix version of each of those places. Actually, it wasn't like 9, it was like 5 or something.
Yeah. But they've did in different countries, and they actually do have all of them on Netflix, but we're going to be doing the American version that they did.
Right.
And
but
we're
hey,
doing
if
season
you're from
one
Brazil,
episode.
If you're from Brazil or Germany or Mexico, or there's another one that I'm missing.
Yeah.
You can watch it in your own language.
Yep.
No, let's just hope the audio on this show turned out so you can hear us. Ladies and gentlemen, I gave Guardians of the Galaxy a 4.5. James gave it a 4. Ryan gave it a 4.5. Next week, we're doing House Party.
Yep.
With Kid in Play, a group most of you have probably never heard of. And probably we're not. Also doing
Ultimate Beastmaster Season 1 Episode 7, Beast Mode.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Chorney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening. Goodbye. We'll be right back.